Father, thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. We thank you for everything. Everything that you are to us and everything you've done in our lives. We give you glory. Give you praise. Thank you for daily encouragement from the scriptures. Because you have commanded us to do so as we see today approaching. To encourage one another, lest anybody be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin or discouragement from the devil. We pray, Lord, that we will stand strong in the faith. And having done all, still be standing. Praise God. Now, Lord, we declare the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to this simple. And we rejoice in that light today and the understanding that we receive. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the devil cannot shut our mouths nor silence our testimonies. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So today we want to give testimony. Praise the Lord. We'll prepare your testimony. And I want to just say a few words before we get going about that. And everybody should prepare their testimony. There's not a single person in here that will not have something, a testimony. We want, relevant testimonies to what God is doing in our lives, you know, especially lately. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today's topic is about testimony. We're going to give God all the glory and God to testify to the goodness of the Lord. But I want to read first a few scriptures. We start out here in the book of Psalms 19. I want to set a background for what we're going to be doing here. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And it also says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Hallelujah. So the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So it is really, it's the testimony of the Lord. You know, that's what it is. It's not exactly just our testimony. It's both. It's the testimony of the Lord in our mouth. We testify about what God has done. You know, we can give testimony to the truth. There are many kinds of testimony. You can give testimony to the truth. You can give testimony to what God has done. Talking about giving testimony to the truth. That's what Jesus said. He said, look, I came to testify to the truth. You know, praise the Lord. And then we also must give testimony to the truth. We cannot but speak the things that God has done. I see that in a court of law, when there is a case that's being tried, people might be called to give their testimony. And when they're called to give their testimony, sometimes they're asked to raise their right hand or put their hand on the Bible or something. And they will say, well, you know, you swear that what you're about to say is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth and all of that stuff. They even call in sometimes, you know, what they call an expert witness to give their testimony on facts that they know regarding the case. Testimony, you know, it's something that we know that we're able to say either about a situation or about something that occurred. We're able to do that. And in this case, the testimony of the Lord is sure. The Lord himself testified. To speak, and he has spoken, testified. You know, Jesus said, look, my testimony is true. Because they said, oh, your testimony is not true because you are the one that testified of yourself. He said, no, there is one that testifies of me. Well, actually two. You know, John the Baptist testified of him. The Father testified of him from heaven, opened heavens open and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. said that more than once. One place he said that, in another place he said, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." Now that's testimony from God. You know, what is God's testimony of you? God testified concerning Abraham. He said, "I know him, that he will command his house after the Lord." That's God's testimony. So God also can testify. Testified about his son Jesus, testified about Abraham, testified about some things also, testified about himself too. You know, so that's, you know, a form of testifying. And we can also testify, to the truth of the word of God, like, you know, Jesus being the Savior that we have found in our lives. Give testimony. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's testifying. You know, in different places that we go concerning the goodness of the Lord in our lives. And also, when we come together for fellowship, we can testify of the goodness of the Lord, what he's done. Or we can go among our friends and tell them what the Lord has done. All these examples are in the scriptures. And we want to read some of them as a lead-in to the testimony time today. So, the testimony of the Lord. Now, one place that I love so much about how powerful testimony can be is found in Revelation 12 and 11, which we've spoken of multiple times. You can actually use your testimony as a weapon. It says, "They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." So, you know, you can use your testimony as a weapon. How do we do that? Well, we put it out there in the face of the devil. You know, you testify about what God is doing and the end result that you are anticipating and expecting even before you see it completed. You know, you testify like that. We've been talking about, you know, the counsel of God and that God declares the end from the beginning. Well, we can have, you know, an attribute of God in our lives like that, where we can actually testify the end from the beginning, or while we're still going through. If we testify the end of what God has done, that's great too. So we'll see examples of people that testified. And even Jesus asked them to testify what God had done for them after the fact. You know, there are examples of people that testified or used their testimony even while situation is still going on, you know, to garnish strength and gain the victory for themselves. So there are many different ways of testimony. Praise the Lord. Many different ways. So let's look at some of them. In the scriptures, you know, of what the Bible says, you know, and what Jesus says and what people did, you know. There's one, most of the time, you know, that when Jesus did not want to be known, he would, you know, in certain reasons, there were certain reasons why he didn't want to be put out there, because, you know, the Jews were always trying to kill him, so walked, Bible say he did not walk openly in Jewry anymore after some times, but he walked circumspectly. He would just hide himself and do things. So sometimes he would just, you know, say, "Hey, don't say anything about who I am, you know, let it be by discovery. Each person must discover it." The devils would shout, cry out who he was and tell them to be quiet. But other times he would tell them to go and tell, you know, the Lord, tell your family what the Lord has done. There's a story in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, where the Lord tells the man, he said, "Well, you know, you go and tell what the Lord has done, you know, for you, or great things the Lord has done for you." You know, there are some people in the Bible also that the Lord did great things for them, and they came back and, you know, gave glory to God with a loud voice. The story of the 10 lepers we know that Jesus said, were there not nine of them that were healed? And, well, only one of them returned to give glory to God. Well, why is that? Well, because sometimes people just take things for granted. After that, the Lord has done something. I mean, we're joyful, we're rejoicing and shouting and so forth. But sometimes we may not give due testimony concerning what the Lord has done, you know. So, you know, let's read this story briefly of what Jesus, you know, did here. You know, now, in Mark chapter 5, now they were nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. That's verse 10 or so, I think. Yeah, verse 11. You know, and this was a man that he was about to cast out the devil from. Jesus had asked him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. I mean, I commanded the spirit, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Father, let me read it from a little earlier. There was a man there in the country of the Gadarenes, you know, and came out with an unclean spirit that is dwelling among tombs, we're told. No man could hold him. Nobody could bind him, not even with chains. Now, being like that, oftentimes fetters and chains and different things like that, you know, it would even break the chains. No man could tame him. You know, so came and met Jesus. And Jesus, this man was always cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, this was, you know, he came down from the boat after Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And he ran and worshipped. I love that. The devil in this man even bowed down and worshipped. This man came and worshipped. But he cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that thou torment me not. Well, see, the presence of God torments evil spirits. That's right. You know. And Jesus said, come out of the man. You know, did not even waste time. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? Of course, Jesus knew. But, you know, he said it so that we can learn something. Sometimes, you know, there can be many, many devils possessed inside a person. I said, what is thy name? You know, I said, well, you know, my name is Legion. We are many. Jesus knew that already. And he said, besought, you know, so the man was asking Jesus, don't send us away, don't send us away. Now, here's where I'm going. And there was nigh in the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and the devils besought him, said, send us to the swine that we may enter into them. Jesus said, go! You know, now, as far as Jesus is concerned, the life of a man, the soul of a man, is of more value than many swine. So, the swine ran violently down into the steep place and perished in the sea. There are about 2,000 of them. Can you imagine how many devils would have been in this guy? And they were choked in the sea. And those that fed the swine, they fled and said, wow, what is this thing? You know, because they saw it. And they came to Jesus, you know, and when they saw the man that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, they were all very sore afraid. And they began to say, wow, what is this thing, you know, that has done today? So they started asking Jesus, please leave. Because he just ruined somebody's business. You know, all the swine crashed into the sea and so forth. For Jesus, the soul of one man was much more than that, of more value than many swine. You know, so, and so the man that was possessed to the devil came to him and he said, look, can I go with you? Can I do this? And Jesus said, no. I mean, there are times that Jesus would say to somebody, follow me. And sometimes one person wanted to follow said, in Luke chapter 9, let me go and do something. And Jesus said, no, you go and preach the kingdom. Leave those people alone. And so on and so forth, you know. But in this case, this man said, I want to go with you. Jesus said, no. He said, but, this is the way verse I'm going, but go home to thy friends. And this is a different kind of testimony too. Another kind of testimony. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. So that's another kind of testimony. You know? Tell your friends. Either among your friend circle, your family circle. And tell it in the church also. You know, David spoke about, you know, telling it in the church quite a bit. For instance, in Psalm 66 and verse 16, he talked about it. Said, come and draw near, all you that fear the Lord, and I will tell you how great things the Lord has done for me. Come and hear, all you that fear the Lord, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. That's testimony. But that's the kind of testimony most people are used to. It's when we say testimony, you tell of what God has done for you. And it's an invitation to others. Come and hear, he said, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Now, if you don't have a testimony, that's probably because you think God hasn't done anything for your soul. And that's it. There's not a single person that God hasn't done something for them. So, that's testimony. I will declare what he has done unto my soul. I mean, there are many things that David had to declare about. What is your testimony? What do you have to declare about? You know, so there are other places in the scriptures throughout the Bible, whether it's Old or New Testament. I'm just going to jump through some of them real quickly. Where, you know, it gave testimony to the grace of God and so forth. The apostles also gave testimony to the grace of God. They reported, you know, what great things the Lord had done among them. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 20, you know, here's what they said. You know, when they were, you know, threatening Peter and John not to speak in the name of the Lord anymore because of, you know, the miracle and everything they did, you know, they said, well, these men have done a notable miracle and we cannot deny it, but we don't want this doctrine. So let's threaten them. Let's do all of these things. That's so that it will not spread any further among the people. So when they did, well, here's what Peter and John said unto them. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, well, you're you judge. Shall we hearken to God or shall we hearken to man? He said, but look at this statement. Or listen to this statement. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now that's a powerful way to give testimony. It's what you've seen. It's what you've heard. It's what the Lord has done. You know, it's your testimony. Nobody can take it from you. They may not believe. Well, that's your problem. But it's your testimony. You know, so you can share the things that the Lord has done for you. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 says, look, the things that we have heard, the things that we have seen, things we have looked upon, which our hands have handled, which we have tasted of the word of life, these are the things that we are showing unto you and we bear witness of the same. That which was from beginning, 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and which we, our eyes have handled of the word of life. You know, this life was manifest, and we've seen it, and we bear witness and show you that life. These things that we have heard, these are the things, you know, that we declare of unto you. You know, now, other apostles who write things like, look, we have not followed, you know, craftily devised fables and so on, but we have given unto you the things that we know about. So we tasted, we know these things, and there's something about tasting. You know, come and see and taste that the Lord is good. Well, have you tasted of the goodness of the Lord? You know, Are you ready to share it then? You know, in the book of 2 Timothy 1, Paul was encouraging Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. You know, that's another thing. Don't be ashamed of speaking up for the Lord. Yeah. That's another kind of testimony. He said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." 2 Timothy 1 and 8. "Or of me, nor of me, his prisoner. You know, but thou be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to power of God." So every time we align ourselves, made conformable unto his death, that's a way of testifying. And we're not ashamed of the sufferings of Christ. That's another way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. There are many ways that we can testify. In Psalm 119, at the same place where we read earlier about in the past, we've read that that whole chapter is about the word of God. We've studied that before, not today, but we've studied it before. But let's read, just one verse out of that, concerning, how this man also values the testimony. He said, "Look, whether I speak before kings or whatever, no, I can share his testimony." Psalm 119, verse 46. "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed." That's right. Kings, it didn't matter to him, he would speak. "I will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved," and so on. "I will meditate on thy statutes." So those are all the various ways, that we can testify about the goodness of the Lord. The greatest kind of testimony is personal testimony. Of what we have seen the Lord do in our lives. Just say it the way it is, and because it is your testimony, then it is really, there's nobody that really can refute that because it's your testimony. There's nothing anybody can say about it. I mean, it's what you personally have experienced. And here's a way that Peter also puts that out in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, "Look, the things that we are telling you, these are not fables that were cunningly crafted together. No, we're telling you things, that we have tasted of the things of God." 2 Peter 1 and 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, and we made known unto you the power coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory," when there came such a voice unto him from the excellent glory. Well, and they went to Mount, what we now call Mount Transfiguration, excellent glory came, and said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard, and those of us who were with him in the Holy Mount, we heard it and we saw it. Elijah, Moses were there, and three of his disciples were there. They heard it and they testify of these things. And many of the things that we read in the Bible, they are testimonies. In fact, when a man or prophet or someone got up to report the word of the Lord, that's a testimony. They testify, of the things that God is speaking. God spoke it to them and they speak it back to the people. That's a testimony right there. And there are many different forms. Now let's look at one form of testimony of things that are yet to be fully manifested. Testify of them ahead of time. Like Revelation 12:11 says, using your testimony as a weapon. The first and greatest example that comes to mind, the testimony of Abraham that we have spoken about many times on this platform. How that when he did not have a child, he changed his name to be Father of Nations. Now, that's a testimony. And so every day that somebody called him Father of Nations, that was a testimony, even though he didn't even have a single child yet. But he renamed himself, but the Lord told him so, and he renamed himself publicly carrying that testimony. His name was a carrier of that testimony of what he was expecting and anticipating God to do. God told him it would happen. He hasn't seen it yet, but he called himself that thing. It's like he called the end from the beginning. And for 25 years, he carried that testimony. Even though he didn't have it, he carried that testimony. That's right. You know, so many ways that we can testify. And today, you know, when I yield my mic in a little bit and ask you to testify, you shouldn't be silent, you know, because everybody should have a testimony. And if you are silent, well, God forbid that the stones might cry out in our place. I don't want any stones to cry out in my place, right? Because I'm not giving praise to the Lord. Do you? No. So I don't want the stones. I mean, these are stones. How can stone be crying out? You know, if you are silent, you know, I don't want a stone to cry out. You know, so in Luke chapter 19, you know, verse 40, you know, said, look, because some people were, some people were being silent. So let's read the story and see what see what was said in this scenario. Luke 19 and 14, I mean 40, rather. You know, there are many things that Jesus tried to fulfill, or actually did fulfill in his life, you know. Sometimes he, you know, when he knew a prophecy and different things in the scriptures, he would do something to fulfill it and so on. And in this particular place, similar to Matthew 22, you know, he was coming into Jerusalem, riding upon a colt and so on. He was, you know, many people were saying, you know, Hosanna, to the one that come in the name of the Lord, just like it was prophesied in Zechariah. And then, you know, some people, you know, were not too happy about it. You know, and they were saying, look, why are these people saying these things? You know, tell them, be quiet. And Jesus said, well, I tell you what, if they were silenced, these stones would immediately cry out, because that prophecy must be fulfilled. You know, so that's in Luke chapter 19 and verse 40. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Well, I don't want stones to cry out instead of me. So I'll open my mouth and I will give my testimony. Praise the Lord. Now, what is your testimony? Scripture gave testimony about some people in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, compiled some testimonies, you know, just about what we now call heroes of faith, what they did and so on, you know, and he wrote many things. I mean, scriptures, you know, many things, many people there. Well, I guarantee you there are still writings. Chapter 11 of Hebrews has not concluded. There are still writings and heroes of faith are still being written and mentioned. You know, this shall be written among the righteous. You know, God is still doing things. But is your name there of the, you know, things? that can be testified about you. And these are people that did exploits, you know. And how did they do it? Through the knowledge of God. That's what the Bible says. Daniel 11:32, the last part says, and the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And this, some of these exploits were recorded in Hebrews 11. You know, Hebrews 11:33. You know, they subdued kingdoms. I mean, they stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of the fire. You know, they waxed valiant in flight. I mean, they had a, you know, weakness were made strong. I mean, they did great things. Testimonies were written about them. What is being written about you? I mean, glorious things are already being spoken about you in the Word of God. I mean, what is your, what chapters are unfolding or have unfolded in your life from the glory of God that we can give praise to? A testimony also, you know, encourages people, you know, when people hear a testimony, you know, they rejoice. You know, when Paul and Silas or Paul, you know, and the others who come back and testify, you know, the people would hear, you know, of, say, wow, they rejoice that and heard the great things of what God is doing among the people. And it would be an encouragement unto them, you know, when they hear it. So we also should give testimony. It does many things, you know. It will give glory to God, that's for sure. It will strengthen the faith of others. And it will even strengthen your own faith. You can use the testimony of what God has done in the past. The victory he gave you over the lion. The victory he gave you over the bear. You can use those testimonies, you know, to encourage yourself for the current conflict and the current fight that you're in, you know. Now, let's read some things that, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 13, we read how there were some prophets and teachers who were at Antioch and how they ministered together, you know, and so on and so forth, and how the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them. And they went everywhere and they did the work that God wanted them to do. And in some places, you know, they testified even to the Gentiles, you know. And here's what the scripture says. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, because, you know, they first went to the Jews. The Jews rejected them. They said, okay, you know, well, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, well, now we turn to the Gentiles. For so had the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be salvation unto the ends of the earth. And as they were testifying about this, remember that this prophecy, you know, was given about Christ. And God said concerning Christ, you know, it is a light thing, you know, for you to be my salvation to the Jews only. I will make you to be salvation to the ends of the earth. So when they were testifying about this, the Bible says here that when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. See, they were glad that salvation has come unto them as well. So your testimony can make people glad, can give people courage. Your testimony can strengthen you yourself. Your testimony obviously gives glory to God. And your testimony can actually be a weapon, you know, to shame the devil as you're going through, even before you see. So there's many, many, many aspects to testimony. And the ultimate testimony ultimate testimony is for us to hear this benediction at the end. You don't say, thou art my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Thou art a good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. If we were to hear those words at the end of our journey, there's no greater testimony than that. For God himself testify of your works. Now, your works speak for you before God. Your faith speaks for you before God. You know, Bible says that, you know, blessed are the ones who die henceforth in the Lord. Their works do go before them and testify. Your faith is also speaking for you. And if God should look at everything and then say, you're a good and faithful servant, or should stick out his chest like he did for Christ, and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. There's no greater testimony than that. And the testimony of God is greater than the testimony of men. Jesus said, look, I do not receive honor from men, and I receive honor from God. And he also encouraged his own disciples not to seek the honor that is from men. The honor that is from God is the one that is, most desirable and that is worthy and that will last. John 12 and 26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. That's a covenant. The covenant promise. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's another covenant that he made right there. The honor, you know, from God is what we want. And when God himself will give testimony of us, yeah, God gave testimony concerning some people in the Bible that he raised up to use. You know, he said concerning Joshua, now will I begin to magnify you in front of these people. You know, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And God began to magnify Joshua. He made Joshua do some incredible things so that people will respect him and honor him. And God is the one that did it. You know, so when God testifies of us like that, that's even powerful. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and as I begin to round this up, we are challenged, every one of us, you know, to be ready always to give a testimony. Yeah, that's right. Give a testimony of the hope that is in you. I mean, why do you have this joy? Why do you have this hope? Why do you have whatever? You know, sometimes somebody may step up to you and ask, well, you must be ready always to give that testimony. You know, that testimony must be ready, prepared. You know, and there was one time I was teaching on the series of evangelism and so forth. I said that people should even practice their testimony in a few minutes. You know, can you give a testimony for a few minutes if that's all you have? About, you know, 2 minutes to share it with somebody. A concise testimony about the Lord, what he did for you in your life. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was in sin, now I have been forgiven. And the Holy Spirit is helping me. I mean, a testimony, you know, in just a few minutes. Sometimes you have a long time to give testimony. Sometimes you may not have a long time, you know. You just have a few minutes to testify. But can you give that testimony? Are you always ready? It says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. 1 Peter 3:15, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you. That's a testimony. The reason of the hope that is in you, you know, having a good conscience and so forth, you know, testimony, always ready, you know, testimony. Well, I'm asking you today, give testimony. Are you ready? Are you ready to share the reason of the hope that you have? Do it with meekness. You know, not with pride. There's nothing. I mean, all the glory goes to God. That's why we put that at the title of the room. You know, it's not what we did. It's what the Lord did for us or through us. And he gets all the glory. The testimony must be about that. There must be no hidden agenda in our hearts to, you know, steal God's thunder. No, everything that God did and does, we must give the credit back to him, because he's the one, you know, that did it, and to him belongs all the glory. So those are the scriptures I wanted to share with us today. And a few things about testifying before the Lord and why we should, you know, and what it does for us. And testimony can be used, you know, to show the grace of God in our lives. You know, the man that was healed on the Sabbath day, that was born blind in John chapter 9, for 40 years being blind, the people were telling him, well, you know, I mean, who is this man that healed you? The man must be a sinner, because he did not keep the law of Moses, worked a miracle, and caused you to carry your bed on a Sabbath day, and many days of the week to be healed. come and be healed on those days, but not on the Sabbath day. I mean, these people were callous in their hearts. The man said, well, we know that God is God, but as for this man, we don't know who he is. The man said, wow, this is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he is from, yet he has healed my eyes, and we have never heard that anyone healed the eyes of one that was born blind since the world began. We've never heard it. Now you're telling me you don't know who this man is? He said, well, you know, they said, you are altogether born in sin. Are you now going to instruct us? I said, well, you guys want to be his disciples? I told you already. Why are you asking? You know, and they tried to put him out. I said, look, I don't know about all that. One thing I know is once I was blind. See, that's, nobody can take that from you. That was his testimony. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Why are you carrying your bed? They asked him. Well, the man who told me to go and wash and so forth, told me to carry my bed. Didn't you know that this is wrong for you to carry your bed on a Sabbath day? They were so focused on that part. They didn't even care to give glory to God for a man 40 years blind that is now seeing. No, you know, their eyes were completely blinded to giving God glory. Just all they wanted to do is be a stickler for, well, he did this wrong thing on the wrong day, you know, whatever, or did something on the wrong day, therefore it can't be from God. God is not bound by days. Jesus said, look, the day was made for man and not man for the day. The Son of Man is Lord even over all the Sabbath as well. If you decide to do something on the Sabbath, my Father walketh till now, and I walk also. Decide to do, my Father does something on the Sabbath, I'll do the same thing. I don't care what your law says. praise the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's testify and let's give glory to God today. I'm going to say a quick short prayer and my segment of this, you know, room today, and then open it up for your testimonies. Remember, David was a man that loved to testify, and the Lord loved him for that too. Because the Lord will say things like, it's a man after my heart. And because of all the testimonies, David was always saying, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my rock. Lord, those are testimonies of things that he has experienced of the Lord. And when he called God out like that, yeah, the Lord said, yeah. I mean, David, he always said, look, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all day long. Psalm 71. That's a testimony. My mouth show forth your righteousness. Psalm 71, I believe verse 15. I will go in the strength, said, I know not even the numbers, but I will tell it. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of his righteousness, of thine only, because you have taught me from my youth and up. You know, look, I will always praise the Lord. I will hope in him, and I will praise him more and more. He said all these things. That's what testimony does. So, Father, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God that we've seen today. We've shared about testimony. And as we now give testimony to the glory of God, receive all the glory, Lord. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you for all these great things that you have done. And as we share now, Lord, pray that the testimonies will encourage others to believe God. Hallelujah. And you see what God has done for someone. By faith, obtained righteousness, stopped the mouth of lions, and did all these things. Let the testimonies inspire and encourage faith that will lead to victories in other people's lives as well. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O Lord. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O Lord. So we say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O Lord. We give you all the glory. All the glory for these testimonies in Jesus' name. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. Praise the Lord. Share your testimony. Give the glory to God. And let others be inspired.